You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Here's something rare in healthcare policy in 2018, an idea that could help chronically ill patients and save money for both the patients and ultimately insurers. And it's an idea with bipartisan support. This idea originated at the University of Michigan. It's an insurance concept called VBID, Value-Based Insurance Design. Dr. A. Mark Fendrick is the director of the U of M Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. He's a professor of internal medicine at the medical school, also a professor of health management and policy at the School of Public Health. Welcome. It's good to have you here.
So excited to be here.
You have a background in economics and you are a physician. So you have married these two together with this concept, and you gave it the name Value-Based Insurance Design. So what is VBID? How does it work?
Well, as Americans are being asked to pay more for their health care, the good stuff and the bad stuff, we decided that instead of having Americans pay less for the inexpensive things and more for the expensive things, to design an insurance product that actually makes it easy for patients to get the services that make them healthy and maybe a little bit harder for the services that don't make Americans any healthier.
So the important stuff you pay less for. The icing on the cake that is more superfluous, you would – so you're flipping it. You're turning it upside down.
Exactly. It's just that the fact that price has driven how Americans seek health care as opposed to what drives me as a physician, the health of my patients, it seems intuitive that the things I would beg my patients to do should be the things that are easy for them to access.
For instance, what kind of patient might be we talking about and how would
so
it work?
So typically someone with chronic illnesses, which is the majority of our spending in this country, say diabetes mellitus, very common in Michigan. There are recommended services for which I am actually benchmarked on as a clinician, whether patients control their blood sugar and their blood pressure, whether they get their eyes examined. Well, it turns out that there are many health plans that don't cover these services very well. And now, because of the increased cost, my patients tell me that they'd like to do these things, but they just can't afford it, even though they're insured.
Even though they're insured. So with VBID, how would it change?
So a value-based insurance design looks at those things that are well-defined quality metrics, like a diabetic eye exams, and makes it easy for patients to get those services, not only in terms of removing financial barriers, but also allowing things like easier appointments for those services that are deemed to be most critical.
So the patient gets these critical services – and ultimately stays healthier. So insurers aren't paying for those expensive hospital stays.
Right. So for many chronic diseases, we have shown that going to your appointments, getting your diagnostic tests, and most importantly, taking your prescribed medications will in fact at least prolong, if not prevent, those expensive emergency room visits and hospitalizations, which are extraordinarily costly, but more important, you know, a great mental wear on individuals and their families.
So there is a key concept on all this involved called clinical nuance. What is that?
So clinical nuance is the basic element of value-based insurance design. It gets to the point that no clinical service is ever always high value or low value. It depends on who gets it, who provides it, and where. So for someone who's been interested, say, in colorectal cancer screening for a very long time, you can imagine something like a colonoscopy could be extraordinarily high value in a patient with a first-degree relative with colon cancer. It's high value for an average 50-year-old like myself, mm-hmm. but it's of no value and actually may be wasteful in people without family history, say, under the age of 40. So we'd like to see a benefit design that actually pays those highest-risk patients or makes it really, really easy to get those folks who will have their money saved by getting screened. No cost for people over 50, but rather difficult for those folks who were motivated by Katie Couric's Today Show colonoscopy who thought it might be valuable to them.
That is fascinating. So what motivated you to come up with this idea?
Well, what happened was, and I'd like to say in the last century, we were seeing that patients were not actually doing the things that we felt were most important to them clinically and realized that the whole insurance benefit design process was primarily a financial tool and not a health-producing tool. And we started to look at those services that were deemed as not only low-lying fruit, but fruit below the ground, and took a look at, as patients were asked to pay more in terms of co-payments and co-insurance, and more recently deductibles, we saw there was no differentiation between the services that we felt were most important and those that we're actually trying to eliminate now that we realize that we're wasting billions of dollars on services that don't make Americans any healthier.
So patients are getting socked in the pocket for something that is, as you say, superfluous as much as something that's extremely important.
Right.
So you come up with this idea, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, is the federal agency responsible for managing our government healthcare system, launched a pilot to test this in January 2017. So it's been a year and some change. How's it been going? What have you learned?
Well, we know that patients are very happy to see lower cost for services that they deem to be most valuable. The demo has been launched in 9 plans in 3 states. It's expanded now to 10 states total for 2018. We're waiting to see the news and the elements of the plans for this coming year. But most importantly, we're extraordinarily pleased to see President Trump sign in the Bipartisan Budget Act. A part of that bill had the expansion of the value-based insurance design demonstration to all 50 states.
And with bipartisan support.
Right.
So, you know, on the ground, as it's working, are people staying healthier and paying less?
Well, they are in the VBID demo, but more importantly, I think a lot of people don't realize that one of the most popular aspects of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act actually has some important VBID elements. And that Section 2713 of the ACA, which most people know as the part of the law that removed 100% of the cost sharing, in other words, made free for patients now 80 primary preventive services, such as my colorectal cancer screening and my lipid screening, your mammograms and pap smears, your kids and your parents' immunizations are now had all cost sharing removed. And this is one of the most popular aspects of the Affordable Care Act. And notably, over 80% of Republicans support the VBID principles in the ACA that remove cost sharing for preventive services. So we built on the preventive services aspects of the ACA and started to incorporate VBID principles of lowering cost sharing for high-value services and providers in the Medicare program where I felt the need was most great.
Now, certainly a lot of contentious and highly partisan debate about health care, but VBID, as we say, has got bipartisan support, yet we know Republicans are still intent on scrapping the Affordable Care Act. The president says he is. Democrats want to keep it and make improvements. So how does this idea fit within the heated politics of what's happening in our nation?
So I like to say that the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare is a 900-page law. I had the great honor to help write one half of one page. And the good news is in every repeal and replace discussion that I have been privy to, there has been clear preservation of the VBID elements of the ACA. So most people believe it's an imperfect law as I do. I think there are some really good aspects and some things that need to be changed. But our little half page is one that has been really preserved not only by Democrats and Republicans, but the enormity of the stakeholders that support this more of the good stuff and less of the bad stuff principles is really unique in the fact that we have the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the country's largest unions. We have the health plans and the pharmaceutical industry that tend not to agree on too many things that have all gotten behind the VBID idea. And most important, we have numerous patient advocates who understand that although millions more people now have health insurance, they're insured but not covered. And the fact that their deductibles and cost sharing do not allow them to get the services that we would really like to see them use more of.
Insurance in name only, in a sense. Now, VBID was piloted through Medicare Advantage plans. For those who have not yet had to think about Medicare for whatever reason, what are those?
So Medicare is basically divided into two types of plans. There's traditional Medicare, which is fee for service. You pick your physicians. They're really not linked in any meaningful way. Many of us believe that care coordination can bring about, most importantly, better patient-centered outcomes and hopefully more efficiencies by having ties to various types of providers and laboratories and other types of services that health plans could put in place, such as free gym memberships and transportation services. So the folks at CMS, which runs Medicare and Medicaid, felt that the best place to implement a coordinated type program like value-based insurance design would be in Medicare Advantage. We wholeheartedly agree with that and hope someday that VBID principles will extend down to traditional Medicare as well.
And then what about, are private insurers looking at VBID?
Well, the good news is the VBID idea is where it is today largely because of some really courageous private and public payers pre-Affordable Care Act 2010. A company called Pitney Bowes in Connecticut, the municipality of Asheville, North Carolina, basically thought the idea of placing high cost barriers in front of things that would make employees healthier was not a good one, and thus the VBID implementation was born. There are now over 1,000 public and private payers who've put some aspects of clinically nuanced value-based insurance design programs in place. These extend from jumbo Fortune 50 companies to companies that only have 50 employees, because the idea, as you've said, is so intuitive, and the fact that we could balance the increased payments on the high-value services by discouraging those services that we don't need anymore to make them fiscally responsible as well.
What do you think has to happen to really make this the commonplace way that people are insured in this country?
Yeah, the mission of the Value-Based Insurance Design Center is that every American have the option to enroll in a VBID plan. So we're very happy to see this happening in Medicare Advantage across 50 states. There's a demonstration now being enrolled in the TRICARE program, which serves our active military and retirees. The area that we're focusing on now is trying to tie VBID principles into these high deductible health plans, particularly those that are health savings account qualified, which the Speaker of the House and the President speak about quite often. The problem with these health savings accounts, which are quite valuable type of ways to save, is they're tied to these high deductible health plans that don't allow VBID principles outside of preventive care services. So we've been working for over a decade to try to get Congress or the Trump administration to change a very tiny guidance to allow plans flexibility to cover more chronic disease services on a pre-deductible basis. So currently now, a high-deductible health plan cannot cover any service that deals with an existing illness, injury, condition. That's over 98% of Medicare spending and over two-thirds of our spending across the state of Michigan. So we're trying to allow these high-deductible health plans to cover, say, insulin, to cover a diabetic eye exam, to cover HIV drugs and antidepressant therapy. And the good news about this, Cynthia, is for 10 years I've been talking about changing this guidance in the IRS, and not a single stakeholder has pushed against it. So we were very fortunate to be working on this for a very long time, again in a bipartisan way. The day after the president signed the expansion of the MA VBID demo, there was an introduction of a bipartisan bill to allow flexibility for plans to cover more services on a pre-deductible basis in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. So we're very pleased to see this bipartisan multi-stakeholder support continue to grow and allow VBID principles to be put in plans across the country, whether they be public or private, commercial or Medicare.
So there feels like the tide is building. What's the potential? Where do you see this hope this is going to go?
Well, I think as a clinician, it's very humbling and the greatest profession in the world to practice medicine. The issues that I see facing this country that are greatest is the innovation coming down the pike, which I call Star Wars medicine, is truly amazing but also expensive. And the issues that we have on the delivery side have not kept up with this innovation. So I call that Flintstones delivery. And the way to get our delivery from bedrock to the space age is to understand that we should buy more of the things that make Americans healthier, understand that prices are important in this regard, but we have to pay much more attention to the billions of dollars that we spend now that don't make Americans any healthier. By removing these low-value services, we'll provide headroom for us to spend more on these amazing galactic services that truly can change a life in an extraordinarily meaningful way, but often these come at a very high price.
Dr. A. Mark Fendrick, director of the University of Michigan Center for Value-Based Insurance Design. Sounds like you are building the framework for what could be a real change in the way Americans get health care coverage and get their health care delivered.
It's very exciting to see an idea that was developed here at the University of Michigan play a meaningful but maybe small role on the national health care reform stage.
Thank you so much for being with us, Doctor.
My pleasure.